And Matt Douglas mentioned it was a little bit cloudy back in Elyria. I actually can see some clouds. I can see a little bit of a blue sky, the sunshine trying to peer through some of those clouds. And it's actually pretty peaceful here right now, although it is pretty windy outside. So sounds like it's a mixed bag in the listening area, no doubt about that. But whatever it's doing, and wherever you are tuned in from, Matt Douglas and I appreciate you making us a part of your Friday afternoon. We go back to the hotline right now, which has been very busy this afternoon. We bring in Tony Guy with the Cleveland Scrappers, and he's going to tell us all about Beep Baseball. Tony, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Well, I'm very well. Thank you for doing this for us.
Well, tomorrow you guys are going to be playing a game, and it's going to be part of a fundraiser tied in. And a lot of folks, when I put this out there earlier, I mentioned Beep Baseball. The common question was, what in the world is Beep Baseball? So I said, you know what? I'll let Tony explain what Beep Baseball is. So for our listeners out there that have never heard of it and have no idea what is Beep Baseball?
Beep Baseball is a sport that has been adapted from the regular baseball itself to allow blind individuals or visually impaired to play competitively and safely. And basically what we do is we have balls that beep that allow the defense to hear where it's going so they can pick it up and get the people out. And the bases will buzz for the batters and the base runners to run to it. Now, the big differences between beep baseball and regular baseball is we only have first and third base. This is for safety reasons. And if we get to the base first before the ball is fielded, then we are safe. We call it a run. And if the ball is fielded before we get to the base, then we are out. And we have a pretty cool rule that if anyone is able to catch the ball in the air, that individual is given three outs, and the teams switch. So we're pretty competitive at what we do. We enjoy it quite a lot.
Now, tomorrow, as I understand it, you guys are going to be in Strongsville, and you guys are going to be playing against some members of the Greater Cleveland Senior Softball League, too. But this is essentially a tune-up for you guys, correct?
That's correct. We are going to be headed off to the World Series next week, leaving on Saturday, the 28th, I believe it is. So what we do with sighted individuals is we adapt it a little bit more in that if they are able to catch the ball that we hit and get and throw it to first before we get to the buzzing base, then, that's considered an out. But if we beat them to the base before they can throw the ball to the first baseman, then we're safe. From what I understand, they're going to be pretty brave and put blindfolds on. Don't think they're going to field with them on, but I do believe they're going to bat and run with them on. So that will be quite interesting.
Okay, and that will in some ways level the playing field just a little bit, but this is just a friendly exhibition, and it's important to note also that for you guys, this is a fundraiser. So for those that come out to this tomorrow, yep, give us an idea as to what the fundraising aspect is all about, that how that helps you guys.
Because we are the only team in Ohio, we have to travel out of state for all of our competitive tournaments. And as you may realize that, that's quite costly. So we have to pay for rentals, vans to get us to and from the locations. We have to pay for the hotel rooms, our uniforms. All this comes out of pocket. So unfortunately, this is what we have to do. We have to fundraise, and we're just so pleased that we are able to do this with a game, because there's no greater joy than playing baseball anywhere of any kind. And to raise money at the same time is just icing on the cake.
So what kind of age range are we talking about here, Tony? What's the age range of those that play for the Scrappers?
The Scrappers, we've got, I want to say our youngest is 21 or 2, and the oldest is 62. He is also our coach, the 62-year-old.
Okay, well, so you guys have a very wide age range then.
Oh, absolutely. And we can go as low as... we personally can go, you know, 12, 13, 14. We like to stick within that range because the bodies are more able to handle the pounding and diving on the ground and that kind of thing. But when you're talking about something like World Series, they're very, very careful about making sure everybody's safe, making sure all that stuff is I's dotted and T's crossed, that kind of thing. So they have to be 18 or older unless a parent, you know, really signs a consent. So we're looking for volunteers, players all the time. You know, we're not a closed team. We will accept all kinds of people.
Tony, where did you hear about the Cleveland Scrappers, and how did you get involved in Beat Baseball?
I got involved when I was very young playing with the Pioneers when they had their league together back in the 80s. Very close to when Beat Baseball started. I heard about the Scrappers when I went to Cleveland State University for my first year in college. And I played with them for a little bit, and then I went to college other places. And then when I came back, I rejoined them.
Sure. Almost like a LeBron James story there, Tony.
Hey, now, come on.
I'm not trying to make comparisons. I was just saying. A little, it's not like
I wouldn't go anywhere. You know, if I didn't have to go to college, I'd have stayed right here, man.
Sure. Didn't mean to put that on you. What's your favorite part of the game? Do you like hitting better? You like fielding? What's your favorite aspect of Beat Baseball?
That is a very difficult question because it's all so – I just love the whole entire game. I think the – you know, my dad and I used to sit and watch the Indians for hours, and one of the things that we both agreed on was that the most pivotal point of the game was when the pitcher and the batter were trying to, you know, compete against each other. And the difference with us is our pitcher is actually pitching to us to make sure that we can hit the ball. And again, it's just as pivotal, it's just as entertaining and competitive because we want to get that hit. But there's this, I don't even know what to call it, but just this awesomeness that you feel when you're standing at the plate and you're trying to hit the ball and make something happen. And then all of a sudden, when you do hit the ball, there's this sudden explosion. You got to, you know, fly down to the base as quickly as you can. And on the other side of the ball in the field, I'm very competitive. I will chase the ball down. Sometimes I run people over, which is why we also have a couple spotters on the field who say, wait, you know, you got to stop. So there's just two different aspects of the game that I enjoy just as much.
Is that part of the reason you play first base too, that competitive nature over there?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of hits that come my way.
Tony Guy with the Cleveland Scrappers, Cleveland's Beat Baseball team, is our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And, Tony, if you can, lay out the landscape for us, because it's fascinating to me how it's similar in many ways, but it's also different in many ways. You mentioned that you guys do have spotters on the field to help out. You mentioned that, you know, the bases will make noise. The ball will make noise. You mentioned there's just first and third base. So kind of lay that out for us. What are some of the rules and the parameters here? And I guess the other question I have, too, is, you know, when you go to a baseball game, you sometimes will think about a loud environment. Is it like that here, or has the crowd kind of been told to just dial it down a little bit so it's a little bit easier for you guys to hear the buzzing?
Yeah, the main rule for the crowd is when there is a play happening, either the batter hits the ball, they are to wait until the play is completed before they cheer so that the defense, everybody has the same advantage of trying to get the run or trying to get the out. But once that happens, then they can cheer as loud as they want to. And the layout is the plate, you know, home plate is where it normally is. The pitcher stands 20 feet from it. And then we have a first baseline and a third baseline, both at 100 feet. The bases are set 10 feet off the foul line, again, for safety reasons. Our field is about 170, I think, is what it is, 170 feet long. And it fans out like a pie, you know, if you stand at the plate and you picture standing in the middle of the pie, then you, as you come out from that, the wedges 1 through 6 are on the right and 1 through 6 are on the left. We share 6. So those, you know, those wedges, you know, if you look at a piece of pizza or whatever, you see the end and you go towards crust, it gets bigger. So depending on where you're playing, you have more ground to cover. But that's some of the differences in the layout of our field as opposed to a regular baseball diamond.
So do you guys have your traditional positions? You know, we just talked earlier about you playing first base and getting a lot of action there, but you mentioned earlier too that the ball has to be fielded before the batter hits the ball and then gets to the base. So you're not talking about a ground ball towards third base in the traditional sense. It's picked up but thrown to first. You guys don't do that. The ball has to be fielded cleanly, correct?
Correct. Well, if we pick it up off the ground anywhere, any person, any part of the field, it's an out. And what we've done, we have 6 players. Our shortstop is the first front guy, and then the first and third base flank him, if you will. We kind of stand behind him. And then there's a center fielder who stands directly behind the shortstop. And then we have a right and left fielder who stands slightly behind, you know, the center fielder off in their fields. So this way, what the spotter will do when the ball is hit is call a number. This way we all know the approximate area of where the ball is going. So, you know, for instance, I will stand at a 2. My shortstop will stand at a 6 or a 5, depending on, you know, where he wants to be. The batter hits the ball, a number 3 is called, and let me back up to the spotters. The spotter, the reason we have 2 is one manages the right field and one manages the left field. And so, being first base, I'm at the right field. If the right field spotter calls a 3, then I know where I'm supposed to be, and the shortstop knows where he's supposed to be, and the right fielder knows where they're supposed to be. So we all 3 get to that spot to field the ball somehow. And depending on how well it's hit, it'll pass, you know, both of us, the short and the first baseman, and hit the right fielder. So it's high action. I mean, you know, once that ball's hit, it's quite amazing to watch everybody running around trying to get themselves in the position they need to be in to pick this ball up.
Do you guys have umpires as well?
Yes. Yeah, there is an umpire who, now in World Series, what they usually do, the World Series is a week-long adventure where we play 3 games per day starting, this World Series it'll be Tuesday through Friday. And depending on how your brackets work and your round and robin stuff, you know, that you may play a full 12 games plus a championship game. So it's real intense. So what they do is you have a home plate ump who does what home plate umps do. Then we have a ump on first base and an ump on third base. Well, what they're doing is signaling to the home plate ump when the runner gets there. This way, the home plate umpire can take a look at the ball, make sure that the ball is fielded cleanly, and not have to take his or her eyes off of that while watching the runner get to the base. It's a very clean, mostly accurate way to tell who's safe and who's not. And then there's a third base ump that does the same thing. And at the World Series, we will have an individual out at the 170-foot line, which if a ball clears that line in the air, will be considered a home run, and that runner, that base runner will be given 2 runs added to his stats.
So is this, when I envision the pitching here, is the pitching done in the sense of which when you watch a softball game, is it lobbed it like a softball, or how is the pitching done here?
There are so many different ways that pitchers throw the ball. Our pitcher is more of a softball kind of thrower. He'll kind of arc it a little bit, but you know, keep in mind he's only 20 feet from the home plate, so it's a little harder to scientifically and you know get that ball where it needs to be. Also, keeping in mind it's about 18 ounces, so it's heavier. It's you know harder to control, harder to be as accurate as you need to be. So. We have four strikes instead of three. That way it gives us a little bit more chance to hit the ball and to work with the pitcher. And we are allowed to let the ball go by us once, which we call a ball. And that is for timing. To be completely honest, what we do a lot of times is we'll practice with balls that do not work anymore. So the pitcher will throw the ball, and when we know he's thrown it, he's got a phrase. He says, ready, set. No, he says, set, ready, pitch. And when he says pitch, we know that the ball has left his hand. So his job is to get the ball accurately to where we swing, and our job is to swing at the right time as a batter. So there's a you know huge science in all of this. And one of the better ways that we have found to work on the timing is to take balls that don't work and just keep throwing them. Keep pitching them, you know, repetition. There are some pitchers who, you know, have a very high leg kick. There are some pitchers who kind of do a sidearm thing. There are some pitchers who just drive it in there. So it is completely up to the guy who's doing or the girl who's doing the pitching as to what they are comfortable with and what they can be most accurate with.
Gotcha. Very good stuff. Well, Tony, before we let you go, for our listeners out there that are interested in finding out more about what you guys do and maybe finding out more about the rules and regulations associated with this, where can they go to find out more information?
To find out rules and regulations and more about the game, you can go to nbba.org. That is the National Beatball Association site that has anything you want to know about it. And for us specifically, we are Cleveland Scrappers on the Facebook page. On Facebook. So anything you want to know about us, you can go to that. Friend us, please, so that, you know, we can get more people involved, we'd love to have you come down and watch it, and you know maybe you have friends that might feel the same, might want to come see it.
Very good stuff. Well, Tony, we appreciate the time very much. Thank you so much for joining us. Good luck tomorrow, and more importantly, best of luck next week in the World Series.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you again, Tony Guy, with the Cleveland Scrappers National Beep Baseball Organization. Very interesting stuff to learn about the rules that they play by and the differences, but very, very intriguing. Again, tomorrow they'll be in Strongsville, and they'll be taking on the Greater Cleveland Softball League team. Time for a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We need to get to a break at the top of the hour so we can hear once again from Matt Douglas in the Orthopedic Associates Newsroom. Orthopedic Associates, where you always see a physician. 1 hour left on this Friday edition of Bullseye on the Afternoon here on AM 930. WEOL.
Our military service members volunteer to protect us in the most dangerous places around the world. They step up,